SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's football full circle on this terrific Tuesday. Scott Wetzel alongside George Kurtz sitting in for Ben Stevens today as we take a look at the football scene for the next 60 minutes right here on Sports Grid Radio. 48 hours later, George, did the Chiefs remain the champs? The 49ers remain the chumps. Did they know the rules or didn't they? Did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you bet on the Super Bowl? If not, you're a minority. Drake hits it big. Aikman's a big deal on social media. Big excuses for Kelce. And where do the Chiefs and Niners go from here? We'll get to it all over the next 60 glorious minutes. What's going on, George? How are you today, bud?
How am I? Well, you know how I am, right? We're getting slammed here with a snowstorm, right? First time in a couple of years for that. I'm staring at the snow piling up outside. So I'm good now, but after the show, not so much as I'll be out there shoveling the white stuff.
Yeah, we may literally, George, and I'm on Long Island as well as you, we may get more snow today than we've had in the last, I don't know, maybe 3 years combined, if they really, you know, come through with all predictions of a foot or 10 inches or, you know, something along those lines. So, yeah, they haven't even plowed outside my house yet. I live in a pretty good neighborhood, and, you know, my taxes are through the roof, and here we are, and still, you know, in the middle of the afternoon, and I haven't gotten my roads plowed yet. Unbelievable.
Yep, I'm on a dead end, so I'm not surprised. But no plowing yet here either. Just checked that to see. So I have a snowblower. I'm not going to complain all that much. Sure I am. But so it is what it is. But as you said, and I agree with you. By the way, I think it is more than we've had the last 3 years combined.
Yeah, we've been pretty lucky. That is for sure. No snow, I don't imagine, anyway, in Kansas City for Wednesday. That's when their victory parade for Valentine's Day is set. It's, 48 hours later, as I mentioned, George, you know, there's always some kind of after story. You know, well, what's the lingering story that's going to haunt teams of this or that, or just kind of take over the pages if it's not a bad call by the official or a bad play by a player? You know, this year it seems to be whether the 49ers knew the overtime rule or not. Let me start by saying, when I was doing a post game show here on Sports Grid, and me who was I working with? I always forget the poor guy's name. Anyway, so we're doing a post game show, and I made a big deal about how they decided to take the ball first. But I explained it's not, you know, this is not Dan Campbell egregious, but it seemed to take its life, a life of its own. I think we're looking for excuses and reasons and what to latch on to, as I mentioned. And I think them San Francisco players coming out saying they didn't know the overtime rules. I don't know. I don't think it's that big a deal. I thought it was a mistake. I would have deferred just because I like to know what the first team did. But, you know, what's your view on it? Because I don't think, though, it is that big a deal.
I think it's a bigger deal than you do. For the life of me, I couldn't figure out, at least before Shanahan tried to explain it yesterday, why he would do that. You know, why you would take the ball first makes very little sense in that situation. The only thing I can think of is that he was worried about his defense being tired because they were out there for a long time on the game-tying drive at the end of the fourth quarter, right? So, all right, maybe he doesn't want his defense out there again. But even if Kansas City scored a touchdown, you still got the ball back. So why would you want to do that? Then he tried to explain in his analytics that you want the ball third. You know, which makes no sense. And you wouldn't have gotten the ball third, by the way, because Mahomes told you yesterday, whether he was supposed to or not, that Kansas City, if they got the touchdown to tie the game, or theoretically to tie the game with an extra point, they weren't going to do that. They were going to go for two, to go for the win or go for the loss, because they didn't want to give the San Francisco 49ers the ball back third. So they knew the rule, right? Because they didn't want to give the 49ers a chance to have, you know, field goal wins the game. So they knew it. The players not knowing it, I mean, listen, we've seen this all throughout the years, right? I mean, I guess the most famous one maybe being, I can't remember the Philadelphia quarterback, Donovan McNabb, when he didn't know the overtime rules back in the day. When it was just, first come, first serve. So I think it's a big deal. I think he made a mistake here. Now, it is a new rule, so maybe we haven't really gotten into what you should and what you shouldn't do. But I I know. Get the ball third. That makes no sense. If you don't score when you get the ball first, the game's over anyway. This makes no sense to me. And as I mentioned, Kansas City, they admitted they were going to go for the 2-point conversion, so it's going to be no third anyway. So I think Shanahan made a mistake there. I think that's the only major mistake he made in the game. I may not agree with some of his game calls and stuff like that, but I thought the only true mistake was that.
Well, the other one was at halftime or the late second quarter, not calling timeout.
Yeah, but that's stupid.
See, that to me, George, is worse, believe it or not, than not taking the ball or not deferring in overtime. And I agree with you that that was wrong, and I would have done it. I think it's a bigger picture. I think we're all kind of hopping up on this Kyle Shanahan, this great offensive genius. Meanwhile, he's kind of showing he's a mope on the sidelines. I think it's the bigger picture, them not being prepared, the play not telling the players. Kansas City players are coming out saying, yeah, we've been practicing that since the beginning of the postseason, not only the Super Bowl, but even before that, because those were the rules for all the playoff games. And they've been practicing it every single week and discussing what they would do if the game went to overtime. And you know, now you got the offensive genius supposedly on the other side, and they hadn't brought it up one time. So I think it's a bigger picture versus actual the dichotomy of it for that game. But not calling timeout at the end of the second quarter, to me, that is Dan Campbell's mistake, because two things. One, you want to be able to score, but two, knowing Kansas City was getting the ball to start the second half, you're allowing Kansas City to go into halftime with a little bit of momentum, down only one score, knowing that Kansas City is going to get the ball back to start the second half. And if they score, then all of a sudden, we got a whole brand new ball game, which obviously they did. It was only a field goal, but all of a sudden, 10-6, whole new ball game. You have to call a timeout that you, unless you just don't have confidence in your quarterback, which we'll get to here in a second. I've never seen a coach, well, I shouldn't say never, but rarely, very, very, very rarely do you see a coach with over a minute left, knowing that the opposing team has first and goal. They're not limited. They had three timeouts, Kansas City. Time was not going to be a factor for them at all. Not call timeouts just so I can get the ball back, even if it's with 35, 40 seconds, we'll say, and try and put some more points on the board. I thought that was egregious mistake.
See, the reason I don't think that's egregious or a mistake is that I knew he was going to do it. I said against Detroit, and it wasn't Green Bay, by the way, at the end of the first half, again, it was worse. He had the ball and timeouts left and more time. It was like almost 2 minutes left, and he still did the same thing. I think you nailed the reason why, by the way. It has to be because he doesn't trust Purdy and doesn't want to turn the ball over. Nothing else makes sense there. So I knew that he would do the same thing as Kansas City because they didn't even have the ball then. And he wasn't. Listen, I agree he should call timeouts, and I'd be upset if my, if Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys didn't. But he doesn't believe it. For whatever reason, I think he's wrong. Yeah, but I knew it was coming, so I didn't care.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. He let Kansas City have two possessions. He lost this game in a lot of subtle ways, did Kyle Shanahan. He really did. All right, just getting underway. Football full circle. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz continues after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Football full circle on this Tuesday. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz sitting in for Ben Stevens as we continue to break down the NFL. A lot to get to over the next hour. Whatever we don't get to today, we'll get to tomorrow. So still discussing the overtime situation. I don't know, George, to put a cap on it, do you think ultimately San Francisco played any differently knowing they had the ball first? Obviously if Kansas City would have scored a touchdown, they wouldn't have gone for the field goal. But, I mean, the players on the sidelines, the attitude heading into overtime, I don't know if that necessarily played a role. I do find it amazing that even if you didn't know the rules, you have a 3-4-5 minute break, right, with commercials in between the end of regulation and starting overtime. Like, nobody on the sidelines was talking about that. None of the coaches were talking to the offensive players, defensive players, saying, hey, listen, if they score, or if we score here on offense, we got to stop them. I mean, that wasn't discussed on the San Francisco sidelines. I find that amazing.
I'm with you there. All right. It's just a bad luck all around. And, yeah, I think that does make you play differently, knowing that, how many people honestly thought that, hey, when that clock runs out, it's like the end of the game, it's done. You know, so you got to rush a little bit. And the players would have thought that, too. They didn't know it rolled over to the second quarter, literally the second quarter, rather than just the start of a new quarter. You know, so, listen, how much? I don't know. 10% different, 20%, 50, 80, I don't know that. But you can't tell me it didn't affect your mind a little bit as those players, assuming they didn't know the rules. And how you don't explain it to them, it's bad if you don't do it during the 2 weeks, right? You have 2 weeks to do this. And you don't do it then you don't do it during the game either. Not during the commercial breaks. I mean, it's a bad look, Scotty. It's just a bad look. Assuming this is all true, that the players didn't know, and it seems to be. Because it wasn't just one player who said they didn't know. It was several that said they had no idea the rules changed.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine if they scored a touchdown and the San Francisco 49er players, and those are the guys I read the quotes from, all thought the game would have been over, and then they find out, you know, 5 seconds later, no, it's not over. You got to go out there and go play defense. I mean, and you hear quotes from Kyle Shanahan, and supposedly they discussed this, you know, during the week, so this was planned out that they were going to take the ball, but I don't know how you discuss it amongst the coaches, but then you don't relay that to the players, and then none of those coaches that supposedly discussed it before the game, were smart enough to tell the defensive players or the offensive players, hey, no matter what happens, we're going to get the ball we're going to get the ball. I don't know. You know, how much of a knock on this is just Kyle Shanahan? I mean, one more, you know, notch on his bedpost as far as not being a big time game head coach.
I think that's fair. Once again, Shanahan, for those who don't remember or don't know, he was the offensive coordinator of the Falcons when they choked against the Patriots in 28-3 lead the Super Bowl a while back. That's one. And then, of course, he was also the coach of Jimmy Garoppolo, missed the Emmanuel Sanders, what would have been a more than likely the game-winning TD when those two teams played each other once again in a Super Bowl and then let yesterday. I think what you're seeing with Shanahan, I think the offensive genius thing is fair. I think that's what he is. But game planning, I mean, game management, not so good. You know, he's got problems in that area. And, you know, hey, there's very few head coaches that are good in all areas of the game. And come on, Scotty. We used to crush Andy Reid, right? Because he had no idea. Two-minute warning, he was terrible at, right? The timeout just awful. You know, and maybe he's hired somebody since then, but we don't seem to get on him for that as much anymore. And you wonder if Shanahan just needs to do the same thing, hire somebody who's good at that sort of thing. You know, like you hire somebody who's good for the instant replays, tells you that in the booth, right? Maybe you need somebody else to be in your ear. You should be doing that, You know, sort of like a bench coach in baseball, that sort of thing. Someone to just bounce things off of you, because it does seem to be a problem he has.
Where does San Fran go from here? I got to suggest something. I don't think they're going to do it, and I'm not even saying that they should do it, but I'm saying it's a possibility because it's been done before. Have they seen enough of Brock Purdy to say, you know what? Pat Mahomes is 28 years old. The road to the Super Bowl is going to be going through Kansas City for next 5-6 years, realistically. Is Brock Purdy ever going to be good enough to beat, you know, Pat Mahomes in Kansas City in a Super Bowl? And if the answer is no, then when do they pull the cord on Brock Purdy? And if you say, well, Scott, that's stupid. You know, the guy, they're not going to do that. The guy took him to the Super Bowl. Listen, just go back 4 years ago when Jimmy G took San Francisco to the Super Bowl against the same Kansas City team and had that same 10-point lead and couldn't close the deal. What happened to Jimmy G? He was out the door 2 years later. They made a big trade the following year. They move up in the draft and they take Trey Lance and they think, okay, he's going to be the successor because they had no faith in Jimmy G to get that job done. So I just, you know, have they reached that point with Purdy? Or do they say, no, you know, he's still growing, he's still building, and we do have faith in him to be able to really win the big, big, big game? Don't know.
I'm not as worried about that. All right, Purdy's better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo was pretty much a game manager there. A little better than that.
Do you think he's better, really? Do you think he's better than that? I don't think he is.
He's got more maneuverability. He can move. He's not a statue like Jimmy G is. So Purdy's not great, don't get me wrong. But couldn't 29 teams, maybe 30 teams, say the same thing? That our quarterback's not good enough to beat Mahomes? I mean, that's sort of Josh Allen. I mean, Lamar Jackson can't seem to do it. Lamar Jackson, maybe the AFC's version of Dak Prescott. All right, can't win the big games. So it sort of is what it is. I don't think the Niners are worried about that. Although, don't get me wrong.
Let me ask you this, right? Everyone's talking about the Chicago Bears trading Justin Fields, right? What are you going to get for Justin Fields, which will be a great topic. If the Niners said, all right, you know what? Yeah, we did it with Jimmy G. We're a system team. We got great weapons. We could have a lot of quarterbacks come in here. You've had 2 years, and you know what? We don't think you can get it done. You missed a wide-open wide receiver just like Jimmy G did. We're going to trade you. San Fran tells the NFL world, we're going to trade Brock Purdy. What do you think they would get for him? If a team had the ability to trade for Justin Fields or Brock Purdy, maybe the answer would be Purdy, but would they get a number one for Brock Purdy?
Yeah, because you still have him under control contract-wise, right?
Three more years.
Contract a couple of years. So, you'd get
two more years. Purdy.
Yeah, that's the biggest worry about Justin Fields, right? We talked about this with Gabe last night, is that not only do you have to give up whatever you have to give up for Justin Fields, which Gabe doesn't even think will be a number one, which I find surprising. I think he'll get at least a one, but you got to pay him the big contract. Right, and that's a problem. You know, these are Purdy a little bit more control here, so I think you would get more for Purdy than you would for Fields. Plus, Purdy's proven he can throw the ball down the field, right? Fields, maybe not so much, although I don't think it's fair for Fields because he just hasn't had the weapons for the most part of his career. They haven't had all that great receivers there. I think, Purdy, it's only his first full year as a starter here. You know, so I think, once again, he was good. All his numbers through about the first 15 weeks, really until that Baltimore game on Christmas night, said he should be the MVP. All his numbers said that. They were better than Dax. All right, and for all of you that hate Dak, I mean, as far as all the percent, all the categories, it was Purdy 1, Dak 2. Purdy 1, Dak 2, and Purdy was 1 and more than Dak. Then things went downhill the last couple of weeks for whatever reason. You know, San Fran had a lot of injuries here. I'm not going to knock Purdy. I don't blame him for losing. He didn't make the mistake last night. And by the way, can we blame Purdy for Shanahan not wanting to take chances? Is that Purdy's fault? Is that Shanahan's fault? I mean, we haven't seen Purdy, for the most part, with the exception of that Baltimore game, be sloppy with the football. You know, so why doesn't he trust him? And what does Shanahan see that, really, for the most part, we haven't seen? At least not in game action, that that Purdy's made those mistakes here. I'm not saying Purdy's great. Not. He's not in, you know, anywhere near Mahomes' category, or Josh Allen, you know, someone like that, Lamar Jackson, although he's a different kind of quarterback. But he's a better Kirk Cousins, I would think, or at least as good as Kirk Cousins, which puts him at top 10, top 12.
No, and I hate Kirk Cousins. I don't think he's as good as Kirk Cousins. I really don't. And Gabe's wrong about that. Wrong in a certain extent. They're both under contract for two more years. If the Bears pick up the fifth-year option for Justin Fields, then whatever team that trades for him will have him for two more years. Now, that second year will be the fifth year, which is like $20 million. But Purdy's only got two more years under his contract as well. So they're both kind of similar as far as that's concerned. But, I don't put Purdy in Kirk Cousins' category at all. We'll talk more about it when we come back, Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. It is Football Full Circle on this Tuesday. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz sitting in for Ben Stevens as we discuss the Super Bowl, as we will for the next 35 or so minutes. You know, George, there are certain numbers I just don't believe. I just don't. I don't care what information you give me, no matter what explanation. I mean, really, there are no explanations to justify the numbers that are given. Two things in sports. One, I never believe the NBA All-Star votes. Why? Because the leading vote getter gets about 15 million votes, and the NBA is worldwide. It's in 150 countries. You're telling me only 15 million people, or we'll say 30 million because the leader gets 15, only 30 million people out of all those countries are voting for your All-Stars? Really? I don't believe that. I think they put in who they want to put in. The other one I don't believe is the handle on Vegas. Numbers came out this morning, yesterday, supposedly over 185 million, 185.6 to be exact, was bet on the Super Bowl, according to the numbers released today. The amount wagered eclipses the previous high of the Super Bowl back in 2022 by nearly 6 million. Okay, I'm okay with that. Here's where I have my issues. The 182 sports books in Vegas supposedly made $6.8 million on the game. And that's where I'm saying, no, I'm sorry. That works out to a profit margin, George, of 0.3%. Not 1%, not a half a percent, 0.03%. Who accumulates nearly $200 million in revenue to only make $6.8 million. I just don't believe that. We would not have 182 sports books. You know how much money is spent every single day? Payroll, these sports books, these big time casinos. There's just no way in the world they're only making $7 million. And I think, well, why would they lie about that, Scott? I don't think they want the public to know how much they lose. You know, they announce, hey, yeah, we made $150 million on this Super Bowl or $200 million, like I'm thinking they did. There's no way in the world they want that kind of publicity. They want, yeah, we basically broke even. We want a couple of million dollars. So I'm not buying it, George.
I'm always skeptical of numbers as well when they post stuff like this. I'm that guy. I love when New York City, you know, Times Square, New Year's Eve. We had 17 billion people in Times Square. Really? Yeah, okay, sure.
I count them all? That.
Yeah, right. Hey, that's right. How the hell do you know how many people you had there? Was there a turnstile that they're all going through here? So never. That's it. I have my issues with the numbers as well here. I think I've just become numb to it though, because I think it's lies all throughout the year. Everybody's exaggerating one way or the other to make themselves look better or to make more money in some other direction. You know, they want you to think. So like I said, I take it with the grain of salt there. So I'm not so sure I care anymore. You know, do I think? I think they're probably 75% truthful. It's the other 25% you got to worry about.
I think it's a lot like baseball and football teams and basketball teams, hockey teams, what have you, that they'll give their profits, but then they don't. They'll throw in the depreciation of the player, which I get it is a legitimate tax write-off, but realistically, you know, is it? No. You know, the fact that Pat Mahomes is 1 year older. Yeah, you could come up with a lot of a lot of tax write-offs to cut your profit margin way down, and I think they do the same thing here. There's no way in the world they're spending all that money and generating all that to make $6 million. Everybody, no, I just don't believe it. I just don't believe it. And then they get the Super Bowl average watch numbers. They came out with the ratings. Record 123.4 million viewers across all the CBS platforms watched, making it the most watched televised event since the Apollo 11 moon landing in 1969. up 7% from the previous Super Bowl high, which was last year's Kansas City-Philadelphia game. Who's counting all these people? And I guess since 2020, I was reading into this. Don't ask why, but I was. They're now counting bars and people's houses. Like if you're throwing a house party, that somehow or another, they're adjusting these numbers to assume that people are throwing house parties and it's just not one person watching. It's 5, 10, whatever.
How do they know?
Exactly. How do they know how many people are in somebody's house? I mean, how do they know how many people are in bars? What do they go to by the size of the bar? I mean, they just make these things up, I think, George. I mean, really, it's amazing.
I can understand the bar. Right? I'm sure there's a formula where you average out the bar, right? The average bar is, 11 people, so we'll count it as 11, whatever. But how do you know how many people are in a house party? Really? I mean, what, is Alexa telling them? You know, is Siri telling them? Right. I mean, seriously, how do you know? Is my smart TV watching me and watching everybody in the house? Lord knows my niece believes that. You know, so once again, these are they're exaggerations. They're educated guessworks. It's really all they are. That's all I take them for.
Yeah. I tell you, and like who benefits? Everybody except the advertisers, right? NFL benefits. They love it. You know, and now they can tell the advertiser, all right, you know what? We had 123 million people last year. So that's what the ratings, the price of the advertising is based on the year before. So they're thrilled about it. You know, the people that are, you know, buying these spots, they're even happy about it outside of the person paying the bill, because now they can go and say, yep, you know what? We advertised, we spent $7, $10 million on a this 30-second spot, but you know what? Here's how many viewers we got. So, you know, it was worth the payment. You know, no, there's no downfall to having more and more people supposedly watch the Super Bowl. And what is amazing, and I don't doubt this, NFL made up 93 supposedly of the top 100 TV broadcasts in 2023. 93 is that? You know, again, numbers that seemed like, wow, really? I know the NFL is popular, but there are only seven other shows across all platforms.
What else is good?
I don't know. You know, it does, you know. Give me the days of the war.
And let's face it, all the good stuff's on
good
cable.
Times.
And not everybody has access to that.
I guess, but 93 out of 100? Were there really 93
that.
Good football games in 2023? That doesn't include playoffs,
of course not.
Right?
You know,
but playoffs are 2024.
Because regular TV is terrible. All right, not everybody has access to everything else. And we got to remember, advertisers are paying, and that's telling you that's where the people are watching. The fact that they're paying so much, you know, for a 30-second commercial, whatever, a minute, whatever the hell it is. You know, I'll buy that because people are. The big money people, the big money companies are buying it. They're buying those advertisers. Well, I'll buy that the NFL owns as TV. Let's face it, so we're doing. It's winter in the Northeast. We're watching football. Sunday afternoon's football. Sunday night's football. You know, it's just the way it is. So I will buy that more than the other numbers.
Yeah. I mean, I want to know how much one of the producers, Frank, told me that he had saw that the advertisers were paying $7 million, like $7 to $10 million for a 30-second spot. I don't know that to be the case, but if that is the case, man, how much money? Now, I know it cost a ton to put on the halftime show and everything else, so, but, boy, how much money did they generate in just this one game?
I was wondering, would they ever, you know, whatever how much it is to our commercial, how some of these companies could afford that. There were some commercial companies right. That I didn't even heard of. It's like, wow, you guys got that kind of money to blow on the Super Bowl. Nice, good for you.
Would they ever, George, would they, this must have been discussed somewhere along the line, and it had to have been, but would they ever agree to having a best of three Super Bowl? Is there one Jerry Jones genius that says, you know, guys, are the numbers going to be the same every single one? No, probably not, but we're guaranteeing at least one extra game, and then if we got that third game, the numbers would be astronomical. I mean, it would be tough to pull off logistically, but how about a best of three? Have a home game for each team, and then, you know, the third game be the neutral site game.
And that wouldn't work because you wouldn't be guaranteed that third game from a neutral site. Everything that's going to be set up for football. So it's not the worst idea, by the way, because it would be fairer, right? Than one thing about football is always that one game. You have one bad game, oh, that's it, you lost, too bad. At least in a series, you have a little bit bigger chance there. But even you also be playing until March, you know. Yeah. So no, that'll never happen here. Listen, I'm on board. I eventually want a 20-week season. Yeah, get that 18 regular season games, two bye weeks. Let's kill as much of February as we possibly can, as I hate the month of February. It's cold here. It's snowing still hard here. For those who don't know, in New York here, we're getting about 8 inches of snow. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Let's face it, every male gets screwed on Valentine's Day, and not in a good way. And it's just everything just goes wrong in February. It's too early for the really root for baseball here. Football's now done. It's just the next 2 weeks, really, next month is really kind of depressing here. I need baseball to come back and come back quickly. Football is, for the most part, done. I mean, now we're on to the combine, free agency, and the draft, right? That's the next big three things for football.
Yeah. I wish football would they realize February is a dead month. It's an open month. They've always tried, you know, they pushed this Super Bowl further and further into February. But I wish, George, they would just say, you know what, why don't we just start towards the end of September? Make the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
We'll start 2 weeks later. We'll let baseball get another full month. It'll basically finish up. We'll let college football, get underway. We'll start third, fourth week of September, and we'll have it to ourselves, and then we can go all the way into February. There's no worry about getting into this college football playoff, which is going to be an issue, I'm sure. I wish they would do that and just say, all right, we'll start late September, and then we'll finish at the end of February. No big deal.
We're not
moving into anybody's territory then. So, all right, who's going to beat Kansas City? Anybody? And will San Fran repeat as NFC champ? That's next. Football Full Circle here on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's football full circle here on a Tuesday. Scott Wetzel and George Kurtz, 40 past the hour, as we try and figure out who's winning next year. Let's start with Kansas City, George. We know the odds. I don't know if there's any bet possible out there that's really worth putting on, money down and have it be locked up. You know, there might be a couple of teams. In fact, you know what? I'll just throw one out. I think Pittsburgh at 100-1. If you really wanted to, you know, invest your money and think, okay, things are going to change to the point where they're going to be Super Bowl contenders and you're getting monster odds now versus, you know, maybe a month or two from now, after a draft, after free agency kicks in. I think out of all the teams, Pittsburgh at 100-1, terrific defense, which I'll get to here in a second. And I don't know if they're going to go into next year. They got rid of Mitch Trubisky yesterday. Maybe that's a sign that they really need to upgrade their quarterback room, which they do. But the one would be the flyer for me would be Pittsburgh.
Listen, I'm not going to doubt Tomlin. All right, who always gets his team above 500 in the playoffs somehow. Right. It's just amazing here. That being said, they're arguably the worst team in that division. All right? Burrow, I don't think, is going to get hurt again, so he'll be back. Cleveland, good team. All right, I'm not a huge believer in Deshaun Watson. He'll be the quarterback he used to be. I'm not going to talk about the kind of person he is. But, you know, they're a good team as well. You know, Baltimore should be, once again, one of the best teams in the AFC next year. So that's my only issue there, that and the quarterback. If you want to really have me buy this, it can't be. You're not going in with the reindeer there and pick it. It can't. If it's those two quarterbacks, right. No. They're not going to make that kind of jump. But you give me a real quarterback there, and there is news that maybe Cousins could be coming there. You know, then we can talk about it. But then again, if a real quarterback was going there, you're not getting 100-1.
That's why you would grab it now. You have to find a reason to put down money in February that you're not going to realistically cash until another year, a whole full year. The Browns at 45-1. I was a Watson fan, but boy, what we've seen out of him over the last year and a half with Cleveland, with all his off the field stuff and on the field stuff. Now I am concerned about that, but at 45-1, I say the Browns because the bigger picture is who could beat Kansas City next year, George. And I have a list of teams, not necessarily in order, but there is one main cog through all these teams. My list of teams, my question is Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson really going to get any better? I don't think so. I think they've sealed out. They're great players, terrific players, but they've shown year after year they're just, for whatever reason, not winning that big. They're not getting by Kansas City. They've had plenty of opportunities. So I think Cincinnati is one just because of Burrow. Not they're the one outlier to my formula here, but I think Cincinnati with Burrow back, they re-signed T. Higgins, which I'm hoping they do. I think they've shown they can beat Kansas City in the postseason. I think Cleveland could be one of those teams because of their defense. You're not going to outscore Kansas City. You're just not. And I know, this wasn't a high-scoring Super Bowl, and Casey still found a way to win, but you're just not going to beat Kansas City 35-30. It's not happening. You're going to have to beat them 20-17. So it's got to be a team with a great defense. To me, Pittsburgh, believe it or not, is going to be on that list as well. Dare I say it, the New York Jets, if Aaron Rodgers, does come back fully healthy, which I have my doubts. And then I guess it would be San Fran again, but I don't have any faith in San Fran. So the three teams I would pick, if I could only pick three, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland, believe it or not, all out of the one division.
I mean, if we're going throughout the NFL, three teams that could beat them, I see where you're going with Buffalo and Baltimore. And listen, as much as I like Lamar Jackson, I do wonder if he's just the same as Dak. Can't win the big games. For whatever reason, can't win the big games. So I think that is a problem there. And once again, Lamar sort of has what we've seen on tape now is that he just can't. That was an egg that they laid against Kansas City in Baltimore. Buffalo, it's hard to argue with you. I mean, they always lose to Kansas City. It wasn't Josh Allen's fault. you know, Bass wide right. He kicks the field goal. Okay, well, maybe we're still playing. We'll see what happens here. But there's some truth to that. The Jets, no. Right? They have so many issues there. Even if Aaron Rodgers comes back, is the offensive line going to get immensely better? Because if not, this doesn't matter. Just doesn't. Though they do seem to have all the other pieces in place here. But you're asking a lot for that offensive line and Rodgers not to be affected by the torn Achilles, old age. That's a lot. You know, and by the way, Rodgers is not playing 17 games next year. It's not happening. When's the injury occurring here? The teams I would look at here, how about Houston? They should get better. All right, you got the young quarterback. It's a lot to ask, but I would Houston, I think, would be interesting here. You sort of got the first year, the first time making the playoffs, you got that out of the way. You didn't play well, blah, blah, you move on. Great. San Fran, I think I still would put here, although I do wonder. And once again, they just can't get kids. You lose to him twice now. Shanahan, we discussed, can't win the big games. Maybe he should be here. So you're looking for that other younger team? Yeah, maybe Detroit. If Detroit gets another player on defense,
yeah,
they'd be an interesting team, Scotty. They'd be an interesting team. I might put Detroit in my top three.
See, again, they would really have to improve. This goes back to my you're not going to outscore Mahomes. It's got to be a team that could shut Mahomes down and just be able to make that one big stop like San Fran couldn't do at the end of regulation and in overtime. I don't think you're going to win 30-27 against Kansas City, and that's where I would put Detroit into that category. You know, is their defense going to be really good enough?
Got to get a couple players on defense. Got to get some cornerbacks there. Got to get some secondary help there. Maybe another pass rusher other than Hutchinson. You know, that would really help. And by the way, this also assumes that Goff remains in this upward trajectory, which didn't see that coming.
Right. There's a few teams. I'm going to throw Houston in that category as well. You know, do they? It's one thing to be, you know, the hunter. Now they're, you know, they win that division. Now they're the huntee, and now there's no surprises, and you get some tape on, you know, the team and what they want to do and everything else with Stroud. You wonder if they're going to be better. Like Jacksonville last year, right? Second, kind of a carbon copy. They upset the Chargers in the first round of the playoffs. They get to the second round of the postseason. Everyone thinks, okay, they're going to be a force. They're going to be so much better. Trevor Lawrence, why wouldn't you think they're going to be better, right? And what happens is they lay an egg. Houston, same thing. They get to the second round of the playoffs. They knock off the Browns in the first round. I mean, there's just no reason to think that they won't be better next year, but it's just a little different role when you're the huntee versus the hunter. So I wonder about the Houston Texans.
Listen, that's fair. That's definitely fair. But again, maybe they got to take a step back next year to get two steps forward the year after. That wouldn't surprise me at all. We've seen that before with teams here. But so we're just throwing out teams here that maybe
Philadelphia
with Kansas City.
Is Philadelphia going to bounce back?
Philadelphia takes a step back. I think they take a step back. Kelsey's likely retiring, right? That's a major blow to the offensive line. Now we're hearing the pass rusher, they're allowing him to look for a new team. He wants to get out. There are some, A.J. Brown may not be back, but he's all ticked off at the team. So I think there's some issues, major issues in Philadelphia. They're going to have to work out there. So I think they take a step back. I think they'll still be, don't get me wrong, still compete with the Cowboys for the division in there. But as far as really being that team, no, I don't think either one is that threat. Right, they're going to go to a Super Bowl and that sort of stuff. Hassan Reddick is the linebacker I was talking about.
Right.
The Eagles are allowing to shop himself around. So, no, I think the Eagles take a step back.
Rams? Can Puka, be what he was this year?
A lot of work on that defense, man. I mean, you think Detroit's got issues? Man, Detroit Rams, they don't have anything other than an aging Donald, right? That's it.
How about San Francisco? We saw Philadelphia take a step back. Cincinnati, really more so injury to Joe Burrow. Last couple of Super Bowl losers taking a step back. But really the years before that, they actually all got a little bit better, or at least we're still competitive. Are we expecting San Francisco to continue to dominate the NFC, or are they taking a step back like Philadelphia did?
No, I think they continue to dominate. I mean, when you look at it, Scotty, who's going to stand up to him?
Yeah.
I mean, the Rams in their own division, okay, the Rams do look interesting, but Stafford had a magnificent year. He's another guy who's not staying healthy for 17. All right, so we'll say there's no one in the South that we're worried about. Like I said, I think Detroit, Green Bay, sure, they're getting there. All right, Love looks like the real deal. Detroit, in my mind, just needs a couple of players on defense. I know that's easier said than done, by the way. All right, I get that, but that's what they need. And if they do it right with draft and free agency, they could be extremely dangerous here. And then you got Dallas and Philly. They'll be there. I mean, I just don't think either one is going to beat them. Dallas, we know, can't beat San Fran, right? They've lost three straight times. They've proven that over and over again. None of those games is all that close. Philadelphia, they did beat them the one time, but that's because San Fran, oh, I should say that's just solely because, but one of the reasons was because San Fran didn't have a quarterback. Pretty much you and I were throwing the ball for San Fran after all the injuries they had. San Fran's not going to lose anybody, right? I know Dre Greenlaw, okay, probably not going to start the season with the team, maybe even miss half the season with the Achilles there. But no major, really, contract issues there. Not yet. It's coming, but not yet. So I think San Fran will, I think they're the team to beat. They're the favorites, right, to go back to the Super Bowl in the NFL.
And on the they have to,
Because they're in the NFC, and there's no team there that's truly a huge threat to them. But once again, I would look at one of the NFC North teams, Detroit, Green Bay, as far as being that team that could give San Fran problems. Dallas and Philadelphia, you might argue, have just as good a rosters, but in my mind, they prove that they play down to that, not up.
What do you think of Mike Zimmer? Yeah, you're a Cowboys fan, former Vikings head coach. I found it interesting they discussed apparently the job with Rex Ryan, who continues to, you know, you hear his name, you know, for you don't generally hear that too often. You know, once the guy goes to TV, you know, he gets settled in, and that kind of puts an end to his coaching career. But his name is been out there for a couple of jobs, and I guess you know Dallas considered him before they finally signed Mike Zimmer.
A couple things here. First thing you heard Jerry Jones say was that he wanted a former head coach to be defensive coordinator. What does that tell you?
Yeah.
McCarthy, Mike, if you start off starting next year, you're gone.
Can this seat get any hotter? You know, last week or 2 weeks ago, he was talking about how he could work with Bill Belichick, right? You and I did the show the day after he made that little proclamation. Now he's talking about bringing in a former head coach. Exactly. Just fire the guy. Fire the poor guy.
Fire him if you want to do it. And obviously, you want to do it. All right. So, frustrating there as far as that's concerned. As far as bringing on Zimmer, listen, former Cowboy guy, I like Zimmer. I do. He is a tough-minded head coach. He will make you smarter, but he will ruffle some feathers here. You know, he's not what you call a player's coach. Right, he's more tough-minded there. He's not psychotic, mind you. Not a Bill Belichick guy, but he's up there. You couldn't bring Rex Ryan. As good as Ryan may be, I mean, can you imagine Ryan in Dallas? Oh my God, that'd have been a.
This would be like Buddy Ryan, right? We would have his father all over again, right? I could see Buddy, you know, punching somebody. I could see Rex, you know, getting involved with. But why would he turn that down? You know what I mean? You have a head coach who might get fired, so you'd be in line to at least, you know, get an opportunity. The head coach, you know, the owner is telling you that. You got some defensive players there to work with. You know, we got a couple minutes left. We'll take a break, and we'll discuss this a little bit further. Like, why would he say no to that unless he just, you know, he's really done with coaching and just wants his name thrown out there? But I would think that would be an attractive spot, to tell you the truth. All right, football full circle. Finishing up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Full circle. Boy, what a fast hour. We are almost all the way through. George and I will do it again tomorrow right here on Sports Grid Radio. So last left you, we were reminiscing here. 1993, George. I know you remember. Buddy Ryan versus Kevin Gilbride. Coordinators for the Houston Oilers back then. Punching each other on the sidelines. I think, was that not a Monday night game? They didn't have Sunday night games, I don't think, back then. But I know it was not a nationally televised game, so it must have been a Monday night game. That was just, that football was great back then. It really was. So I don't know. Could Rex Ryan beat up Brian Schottenheimer if he would have gotten the defensive coordinator job for the Dallas Cowboys? I mean, but again, why would he turn that down unless you just think, George, he just is not interested in coaching really anymore?
The old Chuck and Duck, right? That's what Buddy called it. Rex is not his father. I don't think Rex is going to be. I think Rex is a more fun guy, shall we say. So I don't think it's going to be. I don't think Rex turned it down. I don't think the Cowboys offered it to him. I think that they were in talk with him. Maybe it was to push Zimmer to accept their terms or make up his mind, whatever it might be. But I don't think Rex turned it down. This is, remember, Zimmer was reported that he's going to be this guy for at least 10 days now. So I don't know if I would have been upset about Rex, because I think it would have made things interesting. Yeah, but I don't think that's what you want, right? You don't want the team to be about the defensive coordinator, and it would have been about the defensive coordinator. All right, it just would have been a nightmare. I mean, we were counting down the days until you're going to fire McCarthy. We're all looking at the schedule. Okay, where can they lose two in a row here, and Jerry's going to fire him? You know, that sort of thing. It would not have been good. So they probably made the better hire in that direction. You know, they interviewed Ron Rivera, too. You could see what they wanted, a head coach to take over, you know, in case they had to fire McCarthy midseason. So, listen, it's the Cowboys. It's what Jerry Jones does. Keeps them in the headlines some more.
Yeah, I'm curious to see that Dallas schedule when it comes out. I know we know who they're playing, but I want to see the order and when. And you said the first 5-6 games, this guy's going to be on the hot seat right from the get-go. Right from the get-go. So, George, great job as always, my friend. Enjoy your day. Stay safe, and we'll do it again tomorrow here on the grid.